Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Sometimes this show will be a diversion, sometimes we'll break news, sometimes we'll laugh, sometimes we'll cry. I say it's three-dimensional because I want you to take it with you when you leave here. I want you to go home, I want you to be around the dinner table, I want you to talk to your kids, I want you to ask them how they're doing, and let's not forget the teachers out there either. Remember at the beginning of the pandemic, just to be fair, the beginning of the pandemic, what were kids? Kids were the super spreaders. And this is how the virus was spreading rampantly. And there were a lot of teachers out there that were afraid to be in a classroom. And I don't blame them for that. It's not perfect. But here's the thing that I would encourage you to do today. Check in with your kids. Check with your people. Check with a stranger. Say, hey, how are you doing? And then they give you the answer, I'm all right. No, really. How are you doing? This thing sucks. And then you get the real answer, maybe. Up next, Sally Miller. Mother of a high school football player in the Portland metropolitan area, joining us, has been outspoken on the issue for several months, returned to play. Now, Sally, I appreciate you joining us. Sally, I believe now you've turned your efforts towards getting some parents back inside stadiums.
Yes, John, thank you so much for having me on your show. And that is the next battle. We worked very hard with Coach Miller, Coach Corey, Rick Dyer, Jim Bosworth, to get the football to be allowed. Governor Brown finally changed her course. So that was so exciting. But now with the metrics, Washington County and Clackamas County, I'm not sure about Multnomah, they've gone from extreme to high to moderate risk, but it only allows for 150 people inside a football stadium, which is outside. And so that's problematic, because by the time you have two teams and all the officials and trainers and everybody there, it doesn't allow for fans or parents to come watch. So that's the next plan of attack, is to get spectators allowed, social distances, masks, whatever. So that's what I'm doing now.
Sally, let me ask you, you know, you've got two kids that are active in sports, and you know, you're probably typical of a lot of parents that really want what's best for their kids. How are the kids doing? What anecdotal feedback do you get from kids? You get to look them in the eyes every day.
Yes. I was very concerned for my 17-year-old football player. My daughter was still allowed to play club soccer. They were permitting club soccer. We just couldn't go in the stadium. So she was getting out and doing her actual games wearing masks, and they just didn't allow parents inside the field. So we could still watch, and she was happy with that. But the fact that football was right up until the nth hour. I mean, it started February 8th, and Governor Brown still said no. And then finally on the 10th, through a series of events that happened, and it literally went from the light was off to the light went on. And so my child was, I mean, I was very concerned, because I was like, this is what he does. He lives and breathes football, loves it. And I was very concerned we weren't going to get a season. So, and he was too.
How much does the sports matter in it? How much does not being in a classroom factor into this in your mind?
Oh, I'm sure a lot. You know, it's really hard for certain kids to stay engaged looking at a screen. You know, it's been really, really hard. And now his school has allowed hybrid learning. Some of the schools have allowed hybrid. The public schools are still working on the high school and middle school. Those plans are still being worked on, which is frustrating to all of us parents with public school kids. I can tell he's much happier just all around with being back and seeing people, because when you're by yourself, that's not a lot of fun. And looking at a computer to see your friends or your teacher, that's not fun. And I don't believe it's productive.
We're talking to Sally Miller, who is a mother of two students, one high school football player in the Portland metropolitan area. Where are you right now with the OSAA? And I know Clackamas County and Washington County say 150 spectators in the area, but who's gonna regulate that? Are they gonna stop Sally Miller if she wants to go out and see the game?
I think they will, to be honest with you, unless I can put on a press pass or a trainer hat or something. They won't do it. I do know for my daughter's club soccer, which was played out at Hillsborough Stadium, they just the coaches, the email came out, you can't watch it. You cannot enter the stadium. And I'm sure that's what they're going to do. They will not let parents in. That whether OSAA or the different schools will have people there, they're just not going to let people in. So we'll all be lined up at the gate, at the fence. You know, if we can do it, we will. And it's just ridiculous. But that might be where we're at. With OSAA, I have just emailed Peter Weber to ask him. But I don't know if it's something that has to go through OHA and Patrick Allen and the Governor Brown. Rick Dyer, one of the co-founders of Let Them Play, is going to help write up something and send it to me. And then we're going to approach Patrick Allen and that group and see what we can do.
Yeah, that's part of the frustration that I found very early on is you couldn't really get an answer to, like, who was holding the keys, who's the gatekeeper on any of this stuff, because nobody wants that responsibility. It's not like when your car breaks, you go to the mechanic, that's the mechanic, he can fix it, right? But you have this problem, you go and you say, okay, to the OSAA, how do we rectify this? They point to Salem or the OHA, the Oregon Health Authority, and then the Oregon Health Authority points at the governor's office, and the governor's office points at somebody else, and you don't really feel like you can get an answer. Sally, what are you encouraging parents to do at this point? If people are out there and say, look, this is, it makes sense that parents and family members should be allowed to watch high school players play, or what do you do?
Well, right now, and I must tell you, John, I absolutely love the Mom Network. We've been doing club sports for a long time, so I know parents all over this whole metro area. What I encourage them to do is ask their coaches, get their parent community involved. Whether, again, until I get some answers, if we do need to go through OSAA, you know, just bombard OSAA, OHA with emails, letters, calls. I mean, that seems to make a difference. The squeakier the wheel, it seems to get the oil. But right now, until I know if OSAA washes their hands, which they have in the past, that it's all up to OHA, then we have to bombard Patrick Allen and Governor Brown and just say, hey, look at where's the spread outside socially distanced with masks on? It makes no sense. So that's what I would encourage parents to do is gather as a group, contact your schools, and then the word will get around very quickly to who we need to contact again with OHA or all right. OSAA.
All right. So here's the thing, too. You know, and I wrote this morning about Ezekiel Crowder at Lake Ridge High School, who took his life on Monday night. What, as a mom, how often do you check in with your kids? How do you know they're okay? Help other parents out there, or maybe help people who don't have kids out there understand how tenuous this feels for you.
Well, I do check in with, especially with my older one, with my boy. You know, I just say, how are you doing? I'm fine. That's the typical standard 17-year-old boy response.
Yes,
but
yes.
I do that. I do that, and I encourage every parent to take the time and sit down and try to have a conversation and do a mental health check. I mean, and have your kids, even if it's just one or two friends that they get together with just to be, you know, 6 feet apart, whatever, just to see other people. Than just looking at the walls of their bedroom or just playing video games, because that's kind of what's happened in the last year is it's just encouraged the video games and all that. And the social media stuff, I mean, my heart's out with the family. We're very, very sad. That really put me in overdrive on Tuesday when I found out to work on trying to get the kids back in school. It's a shame that something like that, a tragedy happens before things actually start to happen, too. So, yeah. Again, my heart and prayers are with the family.
All right. Sally Miller, I appreciate you coming on, you know, to your kids and to other kids out there. You know, I care about kids in the state. And I hope that parents and family members and friends continue to talk and ask people how they're doing. I mean, I feel helpless. I don't know. Judah Newby, you're back in studio. I came out of the show. I don't think I've ever pounded my fists on the table that I broadcast from ever like that before. But part of it is I just feel helpless.
Yeah, that was powerful. This whole show's been powerful. One of the things about this show that as a listener, and I consider myself a listener to this show much of the time, is the power that's within talking about heavy things, heavy moments. And this certainly qualifies as one of them. Not everything in sports talk radio is fun and games. Some of the real meaning in life is brought to the table here, and we're discussing it now. I'm not sure what I think. It's almost too heavy for me to have an articulate, concise response right now. So for the sake of just being part of the discussion, I am sad. I am really sad. And for Ezekiel and his family, what they're going through, Mark was right. I am praying for him. I'll have my close circle praying for him. And it's particularly difficult for humans, myself included, to not be able to trace a specific direct line for cause and causation for catastrophe like this, because it is probably nuanced and complex, but we like yearn for that simplicity to be like this is their thing, and it's right. Not that, and that's a struggle, and but sometimes the battle is too, JC. You say, hey, how you doing? You know, and somebody says, oh, I'm fine. Well, sometimes I really think that I'm fine. Sometimes it's hard for me to know how I am doing.
Right. I'll tell you what I do. You know what I do? And my friends can attest to this who have texted me. They'll ask me how I'm doing, and I'll say I have no complaints. And really what I'm saying is everyone's complaining. I don't want to pile on that. Like, nobody wants to hear, oh, this stinks, whatever. But I do think maybe I've been a little maybe I'm remiss here. Like, maybe what I should be doing is saying, this thing really sucks and we're all in it together. And, like, how are you doing? You know, instead of saying there's no complaints. But I think you're right. We just want a solution. Let me take a phone call here. Mike is in Vancouver and has called in. Mike, what's on your mind, man?
Oh, thanks for having me, John. My daughter plays volleyball, and she came home the other day. She's a freshman in high school. And she heard from a lot of the girls, they were kind of just saying how they felt staying at home. And she said a lot of them said they couldn't even get out of bed, that it was it's just that tough on them.
Yeah, I think kids are struggling. I think that the loss of that, kids are, they're social animals. And when you isolate a kid and you take away their tether, I mean, you've got family and stuff, and that's important. But you know, think about this. When you were a teenager, how big was your peer group, your friends in your life? And for my kid, I'm not exaggerating this. I will bet, like, if we made a pie of, like, well, this is your life a year ago, I'll bet her friends were about 80% of it. I really do. I mean, I know she loves me. I know she loves her sisters. I know she loves her mom. But I think of her friends, like, 80% of, like, what is fueling her. Like, she's that's the kind of kid she is. So you remove that, and yeah, you got to be concerned about it. Our big splash is coming up. We're going to talk also about Russell Wilson and whether or not what he's doing to the Seahawks is reminiscent of what James Harden did to the Rockets. What's the difference, really? We'll talk about that. Plus, in the 1 o'clock hour, we will hear from a high school football coach who lost a player this week. And anytime you have a death of an athlete, I think you got to stop and you got to ask yourself and maybe evaluate what we're all doing. Leave it here. Every day on the show, we do a big splash. It is the one thing that you need to know.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be the big splash.
Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
It caught my eye when Russell Wilson's agent came out and said, hey, Russell hasn't demanded a trade from the Seahawks. His agent, Mark Rogers, told Adam Schefter today that he's not demanded a trade. He's only told the Seahawks that he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, he'd go to the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, or the Bears. Wilson's 32, and he expressed frustration after the season over all the hits he's taken. He stated his desire to have more say in personnel decisions. I think it's evident that he was watching the Super Bowl and saw what was going on in the Super Bowl and Tom Brady, and you know, he took a cue from that, saying, you know what, maybe I need to be somewhere else. You may not have asked for a trade, but you kind of did. And Dan Patrick pushed him on his show recently to ask him what the heck was going on with the Seahawks' future.
You know, the reality of professional sports is, you know, things happen, things change. I I'm not sure, you know, how long I'll play in Seattle. I think hopefully it was going to be forever, you know, but things change obviously along the way. And I think that you focus on what you can control every day and try to be the best version of yourself and, you know, ultimately try to win championships. And I think that's, you know, that's why I play this game.
Russell Wilson has 3 years left on a 4-year, $140 million contract extension that he signed in April of 2019. His base salary would be $19 million, $19 million, $21 million over the next 3 years. Trading him before June 1st triggers a $39 million dead money charge against Seattle's 2021 salary cap. A lot of speculation about what's going to happen to Wilson, but multiple sources are telling ESPN that he stormed out of a meeting with Seahawks coaches last season out of frustration after his suggestions for fixing the offense were dismissed. A source told ESPN that was a dark day. That was after the 44-34 loss to Buffalo. That was the week that Seattle was playing a Thursday night game against the Arizona Cardinals. They lost two straight and 3 of 4 at that point, and it was the worst stretch of Wilson's career when it comes to turnovers. While he's not saying, I want to be traded, he's essentially saying, trade me. And I would expect that the Seahawks at some point here, probably after June 1st, will make a deal with Russell Wilson or move in another direction. Meanwhile, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, got a problem with Marcus Mariota. Saw a report yesterday from Ian Rappaport that was essentially pointing out that Mariota's contract has been a detriment to the Raiders trading him, that there's interest in Mariota, but that the Raiders, the best case for him may be...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.